you a present that you weren't expecting, or your parents came in and told you you're going on a trip that was going to be so exciting. Or perhaps you just saw something outside in nature and you were in awe of it. Can you think of that time? Just imagine for a minute. There is something about the childlike, that those moments of awe or curiosity or wonder or excitement, that is so close to the heart of our Father God. And so this morning, we're going to talk about what's so great about being childlike, and why this stuff actually matters as we walk with God the Father. As John said, I have a couple roles at the Meeting House. Also, I'm a bit of a school junkie, and so I just can't kick the habit of going to school. And so I got my master's degree in theological study, and then I decided I'm not quite done yet. And so I'm doing this thing called a doctorate in practical theology, which is instead of all that impractical theology that that we often hear about. And so my focus is actually on the spiritual experience of children. And so that's where I'm really like digging in. And the more I get to understand and know this, the more I get curious about the idea of the spiritual experience of children, the more I realize that we have so much to learn from children and from the childlike. And so I'm going to invite you this morning to hopefully step out of your comfort zones just a nudge. And we're going to kind of step back into our Sunday school experience a little bit. We're gonna step back and we're going to do a few things that perhaps you experienced in your Sunday school. And if you didn't grow up in the church, well, you've missed out for so long, I'm going to invite you to have that experience this morning. And so as we do, I'm going to start with some Play-Doh, and I'm going to actually, believe it or not, give some Play-Doh out in a little bit. And we're going to get this experience. So I want you to think about the idea that it actually says in Scripture, you know, He is the potter and we are the clay, right? And so I think about you, everybody's played with Play-Doh at some point before, haven't they? Well, if you haven't, you're the first person that's going to get Play-Doh this morning, okay? And so if He's the potter and we're the clay, I think about this. When we're really young and we're being formed, His hands are so close to us, right? We're in His hands. In fact, Psalm 8 says, I'm going to look this up. Psalm 8 says, O Lord our God, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to praise you. You have taught children and infants to praise you. That I've probably read that before. I read through the Psalms every now and then. Infants, you've taught children and infants to praise you. Did you all hear Maya this morning? Yes, she's praising. She's praising. John was praying. She was agreeing with him in prayer. It's incredible, isn't it? It's incredible. And then it goes on to say, when I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and the wild animals, the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord our God, your majestic name fills the earth. And so we start this morning recognizing the fact that He's created us so intricately and close to His heart. And He has wired us for this awe and wonder to praise Him. You have taught children and infants to praise your name. Children and infants. So now we're going to get very theological. And I'm gonna read to you. I love this. This is the Tiny Truths Illustrated Bible. I always show it off because it's friends of mine that wrote it, and I just really like it. And it also, it's a little bit embossed, and so I'm a textury person, and so I can feel over the cover, and I really like that. There's my childlike or childishness, I'm not sure which. Now, I'm going to read to you. Basically, the Bible itself goes through, you know, as children's Bibles do, a whole bunch of stories of Scripture. They really try to stick to, like, the overarching story that is the whole story together. And then at the end, there's this little two-pager, and it has kind of the whole story of Scripture in two pages, because that's easy to do. So I'm going to read that to you now, and as I would invite kids to do the same way, if it's easier for you to listen to me with your eyes closed, that's okay. I won't immediately assume you're sleeping. The Kingdom of Heaven. At the beginning of everything, God made us to be his children. He made us to love him, to be loved by him, and to love each other. He gave us an incredible world in which everything had its place, and where our place was close to him. That's what we're made for. When Adam and Eve stopped trusting God, the world became broken. Things were no longer as they were meant to be. People kept forgetting God's love and stopped trusting him, just like we do sometimes. But because God's love never changes, he had a plan to bring his children back to him. An amazing, costly plan. God sent Jesus to show us his love and to be everything we need. All we have to do is trust in him. This is the best news in the world. But even that isn't the end of the story. God has promised that one day, all the broken things in the world will be made right. There will be no more sadness or sickness or death. One day the kingdom of heaven will come to earth and everything will be made new again. Then we will be where we were made to be, right from the start, living close to God, loving him and being loved by him forever. And nothing will ever change that. I'll show you the pictures. We were made to be his children. It sometimes is difficult to remember that though we're grown-ups, and some of us are more grown-up than others perhaps, that we're still made to be his kids. And for those of us who have kids, or for those of us that have maybe grandkids, or I talked to somebody yesterday who's a great-grandchild, that while they're your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids, that they're children of God, and yet you still are too. And sometimes the more generations there become, the less we feel like kids, and yet we're all God's children. And there's something actually incredible about that. Because as much as we hear through Scripture about the heart of the Father for the children, I want you to think for a moment about kids and their heart for their parents. I remember my daughter, she always wanted to be up in my arms or my husband's arms. And so if she was on the ground or somewhere below, her posture was often like this. But there's something about that, right? There's not just like a vulnerability, but an openness and a need and a desire for the parent. And for us as God's kids, I think sometimes we need to be reminded that we can and should and have the opportunity to have that exact same vulnerability, need, trust, reliance on our God. You know, when it comes to Scripture, there's some interesting stuff about children, as you may well know. Turns out, Jesus liked kids. It was great. And we're going to get into that story in a minute, but before we do, and I know that this is like, this is one of those nudges out of your comfort, I'm going to ask you to consider, what is maybe a word or a quick thought that you might have about something that we do as people or something that's considered childish, and something that's considered childlike, and trying to draw the distinction between the difference, childish versus childlike. And I'm actually going to invite you to participate. So I'm going to put some, these are twistables, so for those of you who are not certain, this is like a technology, only worse because it's not technology. You take the bottom and you twist it up, and then it's a crayon. So I'm going to invite you, seriously, grab up one of these. I'm gonna nudge Sarah to go first. But anybody that wants to, not everybody has to, but come on, don't be shy, and write something around either word, whether it's something that we find childish. So we would say, like hyper emotions, like, right? It's childish. Like freaking out about something, or crying because your shoelace was untied. These are childish things, right? We would say. So perhaps we may consider a hyper emotion as childish, although not always bad. But just I want you to consider some things, perhaps, that you've even said, oh, that's childish, or something that you might consider as childlike as a positive, like awe and wonder, and just jot down something. So I'm going to invite you now. Everybody all at once, oh, yes, all right. Gold stars for both of you. This is like the low-tech version of crowdsourcing ideas. So we do this on the internet now, but look, we can do it in real life too. Thank you. Fantastic. And while these guys are finishing their ideas up, we're going to do this. It's like the weirdest communion you've ever done. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to pass. Don't eat it. Although it's probably non-toxic, I assume. I'm going to pass one of these around. And just you can take off a little piece and share it a little bit. So they'll pass it around. We'll see how far this goes. Take off a little piece and share it, and I'll... Don't eat it. It was a joke. Oh, you missed it. Here, you can have mine. It's nice and warm. Okay, oh, here. We'll start here. And we'll start back here. And just take off a little piece and pass it around. And if you don't get some, I'm sorry. But we'll see how far it goes. And don't feel like you have to take some. If you feel like the texture feels yucky to you or something, that's okay. All right, well, thank you for those of you who have jotted some things down over here. So while that's being passed around, let's consider some of the thoughts here. Perfect. So we have childish. We've got some things like no filter in the speech. I still struggle with that, clearly. Tantrum, yes. Somebody who sucks their thumb. Selfishness. squirming in the pews, though how many of us also do that? Yes, I see that hand. Stomping your feet, I'm so mad. Overexcited or pouting. Lies to protect self and blame others. It's a childish trait that many still continue on, right? Not leaving when it's time to go. Wow, this is convicting for myself this morning. So childish versus childlike. Being in awe of nature and beauty. Stargazing. Trusting. Dependent on God. Vulnerable. Trusting. Feels deeply what they feel. Laughing. Playing hockey, but playing in general, right? Simple. Being in awe of God's natural wonders, like a snowflake. Snowflakes are all unique, which, like, when you think, I mean, quite frankly, look outside. Think of all of the snowflakes that have ever been, and yet somehow they're still unique. God is mind-blowing. He's incredible. Curiosity. Like, why? Don't do that thing. Why? Because it's not good for you. Why? Because there's germs and this and this and this. Why? Because of the fall, because of sin. Like, that's they love nature, being out in nature. Honesty. These are very beautiful. And you notice how some of these are like slightly nicer wrapped versions of some of these. Childlike versus childish. Well, it's interesting because Paul writes about leaving your childish ways behind you. He says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I talked as a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I grew older, I left childish things behind me. Which is true. We should leave the childish things behind us. The childish. But I think what has happened throughout the years of churchdom, of Christianity, of Christendom, of all these things, is that we have thrown the baby out with the bathwater. We have taken the childish and the childlike and we've wrapped them together and said, let's toss them both out. And yet, if we look to Jesus, we see some really beautiful things. Some really beautiful things. So, for those of you who were here yesterday, I'm going to repeat a little bit, but hopefully you don't get too bored with it. In Matthew 18, Jesus is with his disciples. Jesus has done a ton of miracles, of healings. He has, people have seen how he's compassionate and loving and kind, and they have seen that his ways are not the same ways of like the kingdoms of this world. They've seen it. They've experienced it. And yet they still don't fully understand. They still think that Jesus is going to at some point ride in on his like war horse with his swords flailing in the air and you know have a throne on earth where he's going to reign. And so they still don't understand that this idea that Jesus talks about the kingdom is actually so much bigger and greater than anything that they can conceive of. So about this time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And I feel like the subtext is it me? I want to know. Am I going to sit at your right hand? That'd be really cool. I want to prepare myself. That's going to be exciting. But Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Yesterday, I was able to scoop up little Maya and pull her into my arms. And she was very content to walk around with me as I told this story. And Jesus chose a small child. Now, here's the thing. In this culture, small children weren't actually even considered people yet. because of things like infant mortality rates and childhood mortality rates, people weren't actually considered people until they had reached at least a few years of age. And so for Jesus to actually do this, to take a little child and put that little child in the mix, he said, you see, all of the ways that you see power and ways of operating within the world's kingdoms, I've got things completely different, and I want you to see it. Perhaps you've heard of this called the upside-down kingdom. Have you heard that before? I had a professor in my seminary time, and he said, it's not the upside-down kingdom. It's the right-side-up kingdom. We're in the upside-down. It's the right-side-up. And so the right-side-up kingdom, I want us to see the right-side-up kingdom this morning, is where we have these childlike qualities of awe and wonder for our Creator, for His love, for the sincere reality that Jesus, being fully God, came to this earth, walked in the dirt, in the flesh. That's our God. And there's something to be in awe about of that. It's incredible. So Jesus put a little child among them, and then he said, I tell you the truth, which I mentioned yesterday. Whenever Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it's kind of funny, because it's like Jesus isn't saying, you know all that other stuff I told you? Not the truth, but this is the truth. That's not what he's saying. The phrase, I tell you the truth, is kind of like Jesus' way of saying, hey, everybody, listen up. What I'm about to say is really important. And so when you hear, I tell you the truth, lean in and listen. I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, when Jesus says, turn from your sins and become like little children, I don't think he's talking about this. I don't think he's like, you know, if you just stomped your foot a little bit more when you got mad, I don't think that's what he means. But if we become like little children, in awe of him, of who he is, trusting in Jesus, being aware of our vulnerabilities and our dependency on God and his love for us, and being honest with ourselves and others, simple in our commitment and in our love for him. I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as little children is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know what I love about really little children? They have no concept of humility. They're so humble, they don't know that they're humble. Hilariously enough, I once was talking with a friend of mine about humility and was nudging him, perhaps. This is when we were teens. I was kind of, you know, ribbing him a little bit and trying to help him see that he was perhaps a little bit prideful about a certain thing. And he turned to me and with the straightest face, he said, I am the most humble person that I know. And yet, I laugh and I chuckle at that, but I think sometimes we can think about ourselves that way. And yet, there's something about the humility of children that is so humble, they don't even realize that they are humble. What does that level of humility look like for us? And then Jesus says this next thing, and I love it so much, and I want you, this is my moment of I tell you the truth, because I really want you to listen into this phrase. Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. Okay, I just want to hear it again. Anyone who's welcoming a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. So here's the thing, and this is actually like, God is so cool. This is my like opportunity to be childlike moment. And I'm going to stand up here because I'm so short that when I'm going to do what I'm about to do, you won't be able to see me anymore down there. Here's what I think is so cool. is, you know, the people who do the kids ministry and greet and welcome our kids, and you guys actually have a really phenomenal culture of welcoming the children. I've noticed that already this morning and yesterday. But here's the thing, I think that's so great, is when Jesus is saying, you know, welcome them on my behalf, like you're it's like you're welcoming me. I think there's something really neat about people who get down to the eye level of kids. And I recognize that throughout our years, perhaps, we may not all be able to get down to the level of children, or we may not be able to get back up. Amen? Amen. So this is not a guilt trip moment on this. But I think there is something special, whether in posture, or like physically, or in our emotional posture, our willingness to get down to the level of children and welcome them on his behalf. And in that way, we're welcoming him. That when we encounter kids, there's actually something that we're experiencing of his presence, of his goodness, that is simply being with children. An author named David Fitch writes in his book Faithful Presence that he believes that presence with children is actually a spiritual practice. And I love that a lot. Amen. And you know what's neat about this? What has God done for us except for come down to our level as kids, his kids, to look us in the eye and say, I love you. You're my children. I'm proud of you. I want you to be near to me. I want you to rely on me. I want you to be close to me. And now, for those of you who have who are fiddling, and perhaps you've made some wonderful creations, don't ruin them. But if you're wondering, am I supposed to do something with this? I'm going to encourage you, if you'd like, to consider then, if this is who he is, what is his kingdom like? I've written over here, the kingdom of heaven is like. And I'm not going to invite you to come up and write on it, but I'm going to invite you to consider about what you might make with your Play-Doh in hand. What is his kingdom like? If he is, in his God, we know that he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so, as the Father's heart, we experience him. In Christ, we experience him coming down to our level and looking us in the eye. And with the gift that we have of the Holy Spirit, we recognize his presence with us even now, in this moment. Now, the next moment in this passage, I like to call Jesus' mama bear moment. Do you know what I mean, a mama bear? A mama bear is the woman who gets into a situation who says, do not mess with my kid. And when you're on the receiving end of a mama bear moment, you are terrified. You're like, I'm not going to mess with that lady's kid. And here's Jesus' moment. He says, anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I half joke, but half serious, that what that is Jesus saying, do not mess with the little children. Do not mess with them. They're my kids and I love them. I have said before that this is kind of my my theme verse as I work on children's curriculum across all ages, that I really hold seriously this, what does it mean to really steward and care for the hearts of our kids well? And as we are his children, and then we also may have his children, this is very confusing, that our hearts are well cared for, and their hearts are well cared for. And in that, we can experience this childlike awe and wonder of God together. And it's beautiful. I remember when I started attending one of the meeting house locations, there was this young girl. She was about 2 or 3 years old. And during the music time, much like I saw a couple of the kids this morning, which I loved, she would just stand at the front and her arms would be out and she'd kind of wave. And then sometimes she'd have kind of an extra move and she just went with the music and she was just in it. And I think we grow up and we grow out of that, don't we? Not that I'm encouraging you all to do that. There may be some charismatic churches in the area. I don't know. That's what you're into. But there's something about that heart posture, right? That is childlike and open and vulnerable and free that we can learn from and we can lean into. The rest of the passage talks about the sorrow that awaits the world because it's tempting people to sin. But I'm going to skip ahead a little bit to say to verse 10. It says, "Beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father." There's something really special about children. There's something special that we can learn from about the childlike in his kingdom. And as his kids, we can also lean into that. Can you hear them this morning? Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect. It's beautiful. So what? So what does this all mean for you? I want to first remind you that you are his children. You are a child of God. Maybe you grew up in a crummy family situation. Maybe you grew up in a really great one. I don't know. But I want to let you know that God the Father is so good. He's a real, true kind of good. He's the very best parent you could ever know. In fact, there's this moment in Scripture that I love very much when Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist, and he comes up out of the water, and then there's this Holy Spirit descending like a dove, and this voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." And I want to say to you this morning, he looks at you and he says, "This is my child, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." You're his kid and he loves you so deeply. And he's proud of you. He's pleased with you. So sit in that this morning, that's one. Two, if I were to give you homework, I would encourage you this week or this month to spend time in the presence of kids. Listen to what they have to say. Lean into their curiosity. When they say, do most birds fly but chickens don't? I don't know. What? Why do you think? Have a conversation. Look it up a little bit. Turns out I got into a debate once with my husband and a friend of ours about chickens flying. It's a weird thing. But kids, they ask questions about the world that maybe we had never considered. They're curious about things that we've dulled our capacity to be curious about. I want to encourage you this morning to be reawakened to that curiosity, that experience of the childlike, that is awe and wonder of God's beauty in his creation. When the next time a child asks you why, lean into it. Third thing this morning, and this is where I'm wrapping us up. Throughout your day, throughout your week, consider what the childlike things were that brought you joy, and consider how you can reintegrate that kind of joy into your life and your experience for the glory of God the Father. Maybe you won't be skipping down your sidewalk anytime soon. It's too icy. It's not safe. But you know what? I have a friend who's a grown-up, who's an adult, And she colors, and I'm sure some of you do, and she colors and she turns it into prayer. She's coloring and she's praying. Isn't that fun? I actually think we can do these things like creating our Play-Doh creations. We can actually think about God's goodness. He's created us as sensory beings. And as adults, we kind of grow up and forget that that's part of who we are as his children. How can you re-experience some of that joy and wonder and sensory experience of your childlike nature? So those are my three. You are his child. Sit in that. Two, spend time with children. And three, reawaken to the awe, wonder, curiosity of being a child. Once again, you are his child, whom he loves, with whom he is well pleased. Can we pray this morning? Father God, you are so good, and you love us, and you care for us, and you fill us. God, I pray that we would have open hearts and open postures to open ourselves up wide again to you and say, oh, we love you, we need you. We're so thankful that we're your children and you're our good, good Father. Help us to rely on you through every season of life. Thank you for loving us so deeply and so dearly. And thank you for reminding us of the goodness of the childlike. We pray all these things in Jesus' most wonderful name. And if you're a child of any age, say with me this morning, amen. Amen. Amen.